Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Welcome to episode 424 of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor, and I'm back for the first episode of year 16 of Signals from Mars here. This is the first live stream that we did, actually being live in quite a few months. Joining me are Ed and Jeremy, and we're going to talk about some July and August 2025 releases.
I'm ready.
Let's do it!
Quick reminder that in addition to hosting Signals from Mars, I've also worked behind the scenes helping other podcasters. With over 16 years of experience and more than 1,200 episodes that I've produced or appeared on, I offer podcasting editing, ghost hosting interviews, and repurposing content into viral clips, show notes, transcripts, and social media posts. If you've got a podcast and need help making it sound professional, or if you want to turn your episodes into content that actually grows your audience, I can help. Check out the podcasting services page over at signalsfrommars.com. Just go all the way to the right on the menu. You'll see Work With Me, hover over that, and you'll see Podcast Services and Sponsorship. Let me help you make your podcast stand out. Speaking of sponsorships, Signals from Mars is sponsored by listeners like you and also by great sponsors. If you've got a brand, product, or service that connects with rock and metal fans, I'd love to work with you. Our audience isn't casual. They're collectors, concert goers, and gear buyers who support the bands and brands they love. Sponsorship packages start at just $150 a month and include on-air mentions, social media plugs, and even product features. If you want to connect with a loyal rock and metal audience, head on over to the sponsorship page on signalsfrommars.com to learn more. Let me send a quick shout out to my patrons. We have Steven Saylor, Steven Hoker, Jeremy Weltman, who appears on this episode, Mike Jones, Brad Dahl from YardMetal.com. We have Gabriel Ruiz, the metal dentist. We have Chris Vaglio, who hosts a bunch of different shows, Song Swap Showdown. He hosts another show, Touchdowns, and something or other for the New York Giants. Sorry about that, Chris. Let's see, Metal Dan, Johan Edistrom, Ed Ferguson, who appears on this episode, Anthony Mackey, the man behind the graphic design, the great logo that we have for the podcast, and I guess it's all a podcast, whether it's audio or video. We have Chris Sinzak from Decibel Geek Podcast, and we have Sean Richman driving you folks around in the UK. For those that don't know, for those that don't follow the Patreon, I've been getting people for the longest time saying, when are you going to have Mark Striegel back on? You and Mark sound great together. So on and so forth. I've had Mark on the Patreon recently. You missed out on that? If you're a patron and you missed out on that and you keep asking me about Mark content, that's on you, folks. Because it's there, Mark explains what he's going to be doing in the future with regards to podcasting. And I may make that available because usually how Patreon works is depending on when you sign up, depends on what content you get. So go there, join. You get the VMR podcast, the Victor M. Ruiz podcast. You get a lot of great new music that I feature on there as well. Great banter between all the patrons. It is a small but loyal audience. And folks, they're willing to spend their big bucks if you offer something that they enjoy, as I mentioned in that sponsorship bit a few minutes ago. Anyway, speaking of letting go of your money and sponsoring things, let's check out the albums that Jeremy, Ed, and I discuss. Welcome, one and all, to the first new episode of, I don't know, you could consider this a new season, or it's the first live episode since when? Since I think May or June, something like that. We've been pre-recording episodes, you know, to fill in the summer months, and it's good to be back live. I have Ed and Jeremy joining me, and Edgar Winterson has been in the chat going nuts already. Thank you, Edgar, for joining us. And today's episode will be the recap of the albums that we missed this summer. So it's a July and August albums review, which Jeremy and I usually do. And now we're adding Ed to the mix because he can add some insight to stuff that we don't want to skip. It's just not our cup of tea as much as it is Ed's cup of tea. And I want to make this all encompassing so that as much as people want me to do one style of hard rock or metal, that's just not in me. There are so many facets and so many things to get into. And I want to make sure that we service everyone regardless what style they're into. So
yes, that's what we need, to service some people.
Absolutely.
Layer bone metal, that's right.
There you go. Wait, I forgot. Where's this? Oh, I'm working.
I love having my Slayer bone tickled.
There we go.
All right.
We're going to have to copyright that and sell that one.
There you go. We're going to make it a t-shirt. So instead of having, number 55 or something like that, we're going to have
Signals from Mars tickling Slayer
bone.
I love bones.
Having my Slayer bone tickled.
On Signals from Mars. There you go. So cool. So let's go all the way back to Independence Day, July 4th. Whenever there's a holiday, there aren't a lot of releases. But let's get on into it. We had releases from Kitty's Resort, War Kings, Witch Hazel, Joe Stump's Tower of Babel, Angry Machine, Metal 6000, an EP from Guapa. So we usually throw this to Jeremy first. So Jeremy, what did you listen to this time around?
Yeah, so I started off with Joe Stump's Tower of Babel, the Master Shredder, as we know. He set up a five-piece classic rock band this time. So as you can imagine, it's pretty good. It was to me anyway, not least because Stump, you know, he's got a sort of really listenable heavy rock, sort of Richie Blackmore-esque shredding style. You know, some fairly nifty fretwork. The songs are pretty okay too. Where it does is a bit let down, in my opinion, though, is the vocal quality. I really have no idea what Joe Amore sings like normally, but in terms of this project, I think he's found seriously wanting, really. And it's a real shame, because with a better vocal, it would be, you know, more enjoyable, because Stump deserves a lot better. You know, he's a great guitarist. So I moved on to Human Error by Anger Machine. It's a thrash band from the Netherlands. They initially started as a five-piece in 2015, releasing Trail of the Perished. They are now a four-piece band with guitarist Timon Den Hartig also covering the lead vocals. The album itself, I thought, was quite well produced. As you know, there's plenty of hard sort of hitting riffs on here. I guess you call it fairly standard thrash metal. And in that vein, though, you know, sort of a negative, really, I suppose, is that nothing truly stood out to me. You know, it's fairly bog standard stuff, but it was technically proficient, just wasn't that memorable. So I moved on to my third pick, next in line, by Metal 6000. Metal who, I hear you say? Well, Metal 6000, the band every metalhead should hear. In an age of overproduced, tech-assisted, rehashed has-beens, Metal 6000 are an entire tornado of fresh air, in my opinion, of course. It's an album I instantly took to. Where these guys sort of lack a production budget, they rudely make up for with songwriting ability that combines a respectful homage to metal history with a unique and magnetic ability to combine heavy with melody, I'd say. It's bordering on the amateurish, that's true, but therein lies its charm. There's a reason why New Album is so revered. It's back to the basics. It's club-style approach. And you've got to remember that all bands started out like this. So that is my album of the week. Next in line, Metal 6000.
Cool.
What was the name of the thrash band you mentioned?
The thrash band was Anger Machine, Human Error by Anger Machine.
So I don't know if I missed it in the spreadsheet you sent me, but I didn't see releases for July.
Okay.
The ones that I did were for August.
Okay. I don't know if I shared. So it only shared the August tab as opposed to the entire.
Either that, or I did not go searching enough to look at it.
You maybe missed the July tab. Yeah. Okay.
But so I'm going to listen to you guys as you go through these first few weeks, and then I'll let you know when okay. I got something to check in with there.
All right. So for me, I listened to War Kings Armageddon. War Kings is a band who I thought their debut album was entertaining, was very much in the vein of Manowar, for example, had Melissa Boney on second vocals at the time. The band has slowly become just paint by numbers vanilla power metal. There's a few releases from July and August that when I listened to them, the first thing that came to mind was, man, do they look for any originality at all? I mean, if they're not going to be playing any of these songs live, I'd prefer that they not even record them and release them, because they sound like a million other things. And with this War Kings album is just, I don't know. I think I could throw it on and throw a bunch of other bands on at the same time, and I wouldn't be able to distinguish what's what as a result. The second thing I listened to was Witch Hazel with, I guess it's called Five Lamentations. And this was kind of interesting to me because it was definitely retro sounding. It mixed a lot of like 70s progressive rock, elements of 80s heavy metal and old school production. So it gave it kind of a retro feel. And then I went on and listened to the Joe Stump Tower of Babel, Days of Thunder, only because I interviewed Joe at least once, and I've interchanged emails with him over the years. So I figured I'd listen to it. Jeremy, when you said he sounds like Ritchie Blackmore, that's an understatement, given that There's one song that sounds exactly like Gates of Babylon. the riff is kind of like a Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby to Queens Under Pressure, where it's like one slight like difference in a note to differentiate the two. But yeah, I mean, if you're looking, again, I was listening to that and thinking, look, I'd take this over any recent Deep Purple, to be honest, because there's still like a lot of fiery guitar playing to it, which is what I miss with Deep Purple. I think that Deep Purple's playing over the years, and I think that they've got a fantastic guitarist now, and not to say that Steve Morris isn't a great guitarist, but in Deep Purple, he just became kind of boring to me. My album of the week is going to be Witch Hazel's Fifth Lamentations or Five Lamentations. It just stood out to me, gave me something a little different to enjoy. And that's where I'm going to go with that one. All right. So let's move on to the week of July 11th. We had new releases from Calva Louise, Nathan James, Dead Seven, Biogression, Double Vision, Laguna, Chronos Compulsion, Madhouse, Celestial Wizard, Born of Osiris, Eternal Idol, Sheev, and live albums from Diamond Head, Girl School, and Steve Hackett. All right, Jeremy, what'd you listen to this time around?
Yeah, so I started off with Plead the Fifth by Madhouse. Very much old-fashioned hair metal, this one from the 80s and early 90s. Very Skid Row, very Warrant, very Motley Crue, all wrapped up in one. They take it seriously, too. There's a vocalist who wears a slash hat. There's a drummer called Mickey Sticks with two X's. There's an umlaut above the Madhouse name to distinguish themselves from the 80s jazz fusion outfit created by Prince. But I'll say something about it. It might not be inventing anything, but my God, does it rock. It really does. You know, there are real. There's a lot of melodies here, a lot of choruses aplenty. It really hits hard. I suppose, you know, someone has to keep this type of music alive. And I think Madhouse did a really good job of it. You know, there's 13 songs, there's 15 minutes. It's album number 4 since their post-COVID debut. And it's, it was fine. It was good. So I went on to The Ghost of Katrina by Laguna. This is fairly typical fare on Frontiers. It's a debut album by a 5-piece band from Mexico. They're offering fairly sort of standard hard melodic rock. I realize this won't be on Victor M. Ruiz's Christmas list for sure, but there were some, you know, quite listenable tunes on this. It's good one to have on in the background. A good high degree of professionalism in terms of the sort of songwriting and production. A few soaring guitar solos on it as well, so it kept me engaged for a little bit. So it was fine. It was okay. But really, for the album of the week, I'm cheating a little bit because we don't normally pick live albums when we go through the end of the year stuff. But obviously, I listened to Live and Electric by Diamond Head. As you know, it's a band I really like. They're on hiatus at the moment due to, obviously, Brian Tatler's exploits in Saxon. They haven't released much live output as well, so, you know, from this version of the band. So, and I actually saw this version of the band at a live venue locally in quite a few years back, and this was recorded in 2022, this album. So it's very similar to what I saw that night. You know, it's full of energy, old standards on there. Some newer tracks like The Messenger and Belly of the Beast, which are really good tracks. Real strength on, you know, on the classics as well. In the Heat of the Night's very good. And the you know, they've got the Danish vocalist Rasmus Bon Andersen really sort of does the songs good justice, I think. So I think I'm hoping they'll come back as a band, and I really enjoyed it, and it's my album of the week.
I guess it all depends on how Biff's health is, huh?
Yeah, there is that aspect of it as well. Yeah, I guess so. And maybe, you know, he'll just want to do stuff with the band, play, record some stuff, go out live, and then maybe fit in his live stuff with Diamond Head in between, I guess.
We shall see.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I only really got a chance to listen to one album this week. And it was Hollywood Mortician by Nathan James. And I listened to this because I thought it was Nathan James from Inglourious. I'm thinking.
I did as well.
Why did he just release an album with Inglourious and now he's releasing a solo album? Yeah. And then once I was in it, I'm like, okay, I get it. So this is, this sounds like Korn, like very typical new metal. And I like new metal. I know that a lot of people aren't into it. I'm wearing a Primer 55 shirt today also, which another new metal band. But it's missing something, you know. You have stuff like, for example, Tetrarch, who were kind of the forerunners of modern new metal. And there's something different to their music where they have guitar solos, where they have cool melodies, and the songs, the compositions seem to be worked out in a different way. And this, it's all right. I mean, it's not terrible, but it's just missing something with it, with the hook, something with the music that separates it from just being a copycat. So being that it's the only thing that I listened to this week, that I got a chance to listen to, it's my album of the week. So, all right. And actually, I missed, there was a obituary compilation, Godly Beings box set for that week also. All right. For the week of July 18th, we had the supergroup Nefarious with Addicted to Power. We have One More Satellite, which is a project from one of the DeLeo brothers from Stone Temple Pilots. And yeah, it sounds like Stone Temple Pilots. Phantom Spell. All right, here we go with these damn spellings and pronunciations. Oscarian. I don't know. But they named their album Hollow Fangs. So, you know. Ramonda, Scar Dust, Drought, Throat Cut, Abigail Williams, Bush, Scars on Broadway, Ashes of Ares, Reign of Glory, and The Greed. Compilations from Five Finger Death Punch and from Kix were released on the week of the 18th also. Jeremy, what did you listen to this week?
Yeah, I started off, well, just two really. New Messiahs by Ashes of Ares, which you just mentioned. You know, the former Iced Earth members are back with another sort of heavy metal power metal offering. It's only their fourth full-length album since forming in 2012. And if you kind of ignore the slight vocal similarities, I think, to Sons of Apollo, a little bit, I think it's an excellent listen, this. It combines some very heavy power with great melody. The previous album was, I thought, was a little bit more frenetic than this one, but there's plenty of hard-hitting metal as well, sort of atmospheric overtones on it, and some progressive parts. And it's capped off with a really great commercial song, I think you featured in on your Patreon site as well, which was Keep On Walking, which I really, so yeah, I really liked all of it. It was, that was a good album. And then I moved on to Slingshot by Reign of Glory, the Mark Bowles mini super group. Interesting album, this one. Melodic sort of heavy metal that rocks, and, you know, the singer's good on this one. It's also a religious rock band, if I'm not mistaken, sort of similar to Stryper. There's some very good hooks on it. It's heavier too than the first album, All Will Bow. Aided by, you know, what I think is a superior production technique. And I liked it because there's a sort of generous helping of, you know, fairly melodic stuff, but without the songs being very predictable. So it kind of reached out to me, really. And it,
what was that band name again?
Yeah, it's Reign of Glory. So it's,
yeah. So when you first said Reign of Glory, I thought, I've heard that band because, you know, I keep up with the Christian metal scene too.
Yeah.
So that is the same band. I haven't listened to it yet, so I'm going to add it to my list here. And
yeah, there we go.
Take that down on your recommendation.
Yeah, I thought it was a good listen. So I, you know, of the two, that's my pick of the week, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, nice pick.
I listened to three different albums. I listened to three different albums for this week. I listened to Bush and I Beat Loneliness. Edgar Winterson saying that he passed on the Bush. The album starts out strong. And as time goes by, or as the tracks go by, it gets dull and boring for me. So I Beat Loneliness. If I want to be bored and lonely, I would listen to this, to be honest. Scars on Broadway, Scarred for Life. That is Darian from System of a Down. And man, this album was also kind of a letdown. Like, I'm not a huge System of a Down fan, but it just feels like he went in and just recorded his version of System of a Down. Whereas with other albums that he's released or the other members where you can pinpoint, oh yeah, okay, I get it. That's the spice that he adds to the entire recipe. But this to me feels like, with all the band's fans clamoring for a new album, just feels to me like he said, all right, screw it. We're not releasing an album. So I'm going to do an album in the vein of System of a Down. And it just comes off just kind of okay. My pick of the week, though, is Addicted to Power by Nefarious. It is the supergroup thrash band from San Francisco. I've posted videos of theirs on Patreon. So this band is made up of Katon Peña from the band Hyrax, best known for that. Also has Rick Hunnell, best known for Exodus. Will Carroll, who's best known for Death Angel. Also Tom Gears, who's formerly of Blind Illusion. And Doug Piercy, who is, let's see, he's been in quite a lot. Also Blind Illusion, Heathen. What else has he been in here? Anvil Chorus. He's been around as well. Listen, they're not inventing anything new, but different to, say, the Scars on Broadway or some of the other releases that I've mentioned. There's different things to the music that just makes it stand out and makes it enjoyable, where there's enough there that makes me say, okay, I want to continue to listen to this stuff instead of, yeah, I've kind of heard this before and there's really nothing special to it. So I would, for me, for my money, Nefarious Addicted to Power is my pick for July 18th. So we're going to stroll on in here to the last week of July. And this final week of July included new albums from Enough's Enough, Honeymoon Suite, Cold Slither, False Gods, Pseudo Frame, Endless Dismal Moan, Azuri Emote.
Great, great band name.
Roulette, Jordan Fast, Alice Cooper, Schworen Schwanz, Guar, Sweet, Reissues from Bruce Dickinson, EP from The Violent Hour, which is Carla Harvey from formerly of Butcher Babies, and her boyfriend Charlie Benante of Anthrax and Pantera doing pretty much all the music, and a compilation from Deicide, Children of the Underworld, a complete Roadrunner's Years box set. So, Jeremy, what did you listen to this week?
Okay, so I began my week spending a lot of time listening to Extra Cherries by Enough is Enough. And I've written down one word here to describe this album, and it's terrible. It's utterly terrible. I wasted my time. I wasted my energy. It's, I just can't understand what this band's about. I don't understand them. They don't play heavy metal and they don't seem to rock much. So I'm moving on. I'll leave you to comment further if you did listen to it yourself. So I listened to Go by Roulette easy listening, classic rock, sort of AOR style Swedish band. I say it's strictly for fans of Dare, FM, Journey, that sort of stuff. So not necessarily your bag, Victor. But there was a lot to enjoy on it, not least the fact that you know, the band was fairly upfront in the mix. You can hear every note, every cymbal crash, every word of the lyrics. Very good, easy listening. Has a bit of edge to it. Great melodies. All sort of epitomized by the song "Strangers," which I liked. What we describe as a very troubled world at the moment, there's definitely a place for this kind of music because it's kind of calming and relaxing, and nice sort of sound. Really, it's performed well. So I like that one, but it wasn't my album of the week. I went for The Revenge of Alice Cooper by, of course, Alice Cooper. So, the King of Vaudeville is back. He's got his original band. It's a real tour de force of 60s and 70s rock. It's a bit of a parody of heavy metal, I'd say. I did read an Amazon review of this by someone who's very disappointed with it. My review, though, is that it's a bit like the sort of latest Rolling Stones album. It's old guys doing stuff well. I'm not old enough to actually remember the original Alice Cooper band, even though I am quite old. But what what I will say is that, they blow you away with the most of the sort of modern bands. Sorry, I got a bit of a nut stuck. They write songs, with lyrics and melodies and choruses and sort of 70s rock riffs. And we talked a lot about Ozzy recently. But Alice Cooper's, 77? So you've got, bear that in mind. So he's a bit of a legend. And it was a really fun listen. So, hail to Alice. It was good.
Cool. Now you know I don't eat any dried fruits before.
Yeah.
That is a lesson that that I think we've all learned somewhere along the way.
Yep.
All right. So I listened to the Enough's Enough album as well. Half of it seems to be retreaded stuff because Derek Frigo's playing on one of the songs and he died sometime in the 90s from a heroin overdose. Donnie V is also on a track. I don't know if that's something that was lying around the studio or if they convinced him to record on a track or not. Enough's Enough is trying to do their best to be Cheap Trick, to be a Beatlesque sounding band, and a lot of people consider it power pop, more so than hard rock, and that's why I think they got attention in the 90s from people like Howard Stern because they were a throwback to the Beatles and Cheap Trick and stuff like that. I listened to the Violent Hour EP. Again, Carla Harvey, formerly of Butcher Babies, and Charlie Benante on the instrumentation. If you listen to it, you can tell it's Charlie playing. Just his phrasing and how he plays guitar and how he drums. And it's kind of neat hearing him playing outside of Anthrax, outside of what he's usually known for. So you can tell it's him, but it's doing something completely different. It's doing, straight up hard rock. One thing I didn't listen to, which I'm scared to listen to, is Bruce Dickinson's More Balls to Picasso. I saw that Roy Z had an issue with what he did with the new mix. I love this album when it came out because it was so different. To be honest, anything before Accident of Birth, to me, by Bruce, is kind of pedestrian at this point because Accident of Birth and Chemical Wedding are such strong albums. No. That's not true. Skunkworks is a really good album as well. It got a bad rap because he cut his hair and because he changed up his band. But Balls to Picasso, outside of Laughing in the Hiding Bush and listening to Cyclops every now and then, I don't want to hear Bruce doing Peter Gabriel. I don't want to hear Tears of the Dragon, which, as cool as that song is, as cool as it was when it came out, you know, 30 years later, I don't want to hear Bruce singing a ballad. So, I don't want to hear him singing Wasted Love for that matter either, you know, so I don't want to hear him doing any Maiden ballads either. My pick of the week, kind of by default, is going to be the Alice Cooper as well. Listen, I think that it harkens back to what those first few Alice Cooper Band albums are about. It's got that feeling. It's got that, those melodies. It's got that vibe where there was even a track I was listening to today where Alice is singing like out of the usual that you're used to hearing from Alice. And I was hearing the song and I was humming along to the melody and I was thinking, what is this? You know, I gotta hit it on my car screen to figure out what this is. I'm like, oh wow, it's Alice Cooper. This sounds really cool. So yeah, as a result, The Revenge of Alice Cooper is my pick of the week for July 25th. So recapping July real quickly here, week one, July 4th, Jeremy went with Metal 6000 and Next in Line. I went with Witch Hazel and Five Lamentations. I think I've pronounced the name of that title differently every time I've mentioned it, but oh well. For the week of July 11th, Jeremy went with the Diamond Head Live and Electric live release. I went with Nathan James, Hollywood Mortician. Week three, July 18th, Jeremy went with Slingshots by Reign of Glory, and I went with Addicted to Power by Nefarious. And for July 25th, both Jeremy and I agreed with The Revenge of Alice Cooper by Alice Cooper. All right. So let's move on to August, and hopefully now we can give Ed some time to pontificate on some albums that he checked out.
Yeah, I got a few to recommend.
Cool.
For all you metalheads.
So first week of August, we had new releases from Moths, Fox Lake, Gnosis, I guess how you pronounce it, Rex Tycoon, Nuclear Daisies, and Lumi. Jeremy, what did you check out for this week?
Yeah, the first one was an album called First Taste of Heaven by Nuclear Daisies. I didn't know actually much about this band except that they hail from Texas. They have a sound, though, that's probably, I guess, as far removed from the state as you can imagine, or at least as I can imagine. There's a sort of kind of a laid-back feel to it, almost a Manchester band feel to it, layered with keyboards, with techno drums on there, sort of a haunting, wispy female vocal on there. So it wasn't really rock or metal. It isn't my normal kind of listen, but, you know, I enjoyed it. It was okay. But the one I'm going to pick for the week, and I only picked, listened to two for this particular week. It's an album called 667788 by Lomi, or I actually thought that was Iomi at first, but I had to look at it again. Yeah. And I don't know what the numbers stand for. Another new band to me. Apparently they're a Swedish three piece. You'd maybe even call them a power trio. This sort of crunchy, doomy, clutch style riffs to the music. It doesn't always work, but when it does, it's a pretty good listen, to be fair. It's an album that's taken a decade to make, apparently, and it sort of captures the energy of their live shows as well, which you can sort of definitely understand when you listen to it. They seem to sort of carve it out a bit of a unique style with their sort of phrasing in what I would describe as a bit of a homogenous genre. So, yeah, for that reason alone, I'm going to pick that one as my album of the week.
Okay. Ed, did you get a chance to listen to anything from this week?
I did listen to all of those. None of those were ones that I picked. It seems like most of mine are going to be from the next week.
Okay.
But I did find, I think I remember some of that band Gnosis. I found that kind of interesting. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember it being kind of a nu metal type band, but they were throwing a lot of other genre influences throughout their songs, keeping it interesting for someone like me who's not very interested in nu metal.
Okay, cool. I'll have to check that out. My album of the week for this week, and honestly, the only thing that I got a chance to listen to, is from the Puerto Rican band Moths. The album is called Septum. This is a progressive metal band, which mixes a lot of, you know, progressive overtones from the last 20 to 30 years, going in the direction of a lot of djenti type stuff. Nothing new, nothing, inventing the wheel, but interesting enough for me to, after posting some videos of theirs on Patreon, to check the entire album out. So, for me, Moth Septum is the pick for August 1st. Moving on to August 8th, we had new releases from Live Sin, Volure and Cares. It's in a, I've never pronounced this correctly.
That's good, because I need help saying that band's name.
This was Joey from Slipknot.
Jordanson, yeah.
Yeah, his former band. Paralysis, Attack Attack, the purveyors of crab metal there. Lord of the Lost, which I realized that I listened to also. Firstborn, which is the band that features Chris Adler, formerly of Lamb of God and Garish, from Garish and the Chronicles. And we also had a new release by Hailstorm called Everest. EPs from Avarasian's Crown and reissues from Edge of Sanity and Sweet. So, Ed, you're saying that you have something to discuss this week. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, yeah, I do have that one. And, you know, you've invited a Kentucky boy onto your podcast, so you are going to be having to help me with some of these names along the way. But Sensanum, or yeah, however you might say that, I found that to be a good jam. Now, that's like it's technical death metal.
Right.
But it's got, you know, some little bit of black and death metal in there. You know, they call it a super group, of course, with Joey Jordanson having been in there before he died. But it's got a, you know, it's a lot of fast, tight, very, you know, it's clean playing with a lot of changing riffs that keep things interesting. And, you know, normally that stuff can get boring to me pretty fast. But this record, one thing that set it over the top for me was it has a really nice production. It's not overproduced, but still it's got a nice thick sound. The instruments are clear. They also add in some groove here and there. So if you get a little tired of the technical death metal riffs, like I said, they come with buckets full of riffs, and they add some grooves in there that'll get your head banging. The vocals are kind of in between, you know, it's not quite metalcore, but not quite death metal. You know, it's kind of like on that shouting to death metal edge. So, you know, someone like Jeremy might like that a little bit. But yeah, it's got a nice raw electric guitar tone. And also one of the things that always stands out to me in records, because, you know, I like the jug. I like it when they add a little of that, you know, let that palm lay down on the strings and jug away. Give some heavy metal rumble to the song. And so anyway, for that week, that's the one for me. Check that one out.
Okay.
Yeah, good jam.
Okay, cool. Jeremy?
Yeah, I started off listening to Opus Noir Volume 1 by Lord of the Lost, of course. To be fair, it's actually pretty good. I like the vocal, which I do anyway. I like the haunting melodies that they, you know, they create with their sort of brand of gothic metal. I actually bought Blood of Glitter, the I think it's the previous album, actually. I enjoy that. I thought they were very good live, supporting Iron Maiden. This album is actually a bit darker than the Blood and Glitter, as you might expect from the title. My only gripe, though, is that I find a lot of their songs sounds a little bit similar You know, they've got that sort of mix of clean and growly vocals that go on. And I think there's a lot, the keys are all the same. So, you know, I can listen to a lot of their stuff and really enjoy it, but I just feel that they need a little bit more variation at times. And even going darker on this album doesn't really help that. So I don't know what they need to do. But so, yeah, it's fine. It was good. Spiral of Suffering I listened to by Paralysis. This band hails from a place called New Jersey, which I've never heard of, Victor. I think it's a tiny island in the Tasman Sea somewhere. But in any event, it's album number 3 for the band. There's some growly sort of angry thrash to sort of dig into. Familiar themes that you get with thrash. Obviously, there's typical thrash chord structures on there. A little punkier hardcore edge to it, that allows them to maybe just peek their head above the sort of what is a bit of a crowded field, you know, in thrash. So not bad overall. Quite enjoyed that one. I then moved on to my pick of the week, Lucky by Firstborn. This is a super group, of course, which is formed by Chris Adler, Myron, and it's got Girish and the Chronicles on vocals. I actually can't remember very much of the previous album. I think I did listen to it, but I think typically there's some good sort of classic rock sounds on here, good quality, a few sort of passing references to the classics of old and the legacy bands. Wake Up, very sort of good punky metal number, reminds me of Velvet Revolver. There's a little bit of flashy Van Halen here and there. You know, there's a lot to interest me, really. There was a little bit of lyrics, actually. It was a snippet that was taken directly from The Trooper, I think, by Iron Maiden. They actually quoted it verbatim. Anyway, the whole thing I enjoyed overall. I wanted to listen to it again, and that's going to be my album of the week.
Okay, cool. So for me, I listened to Live Sin, Close Your Eyes. Much like what I mentioned before with War Kings, this is just paint by numbers, like 2000s Eurovision metal. Some growling over top, some keyboards here and there, and it just, I was listening to it, waiting in the line to get my car inspected, and I was thinking, this music is just making this wait longer. Because there's really nothing, you know, that's lifting me up here. And I was thinking, you know, are they going to play any of these songs live? Like, what's the purpose of recording this? So I got to listen to the new Hailstorm Everest. Man, I was supposed to see them live. And I know that they're a great band live. I've never seen them live before. But I've always been on the fence about their material. I either really enjoy it or I don't. And I don't remember how many tracks are on this album. I think it's 9 or 10. And there's one track I think is good, and the rest is just utterly boring and samey. It's funny because they've talked about how, you know, liberating the lyrics are, and how she's pronouncing herself with this and this and that. And I'm like, that's awesome. I'm glad that she's got the courage to do that. But just one mid-tempo song after another, another ballady type song, blues-like song. And it's like, man, I've been here. I just kept thinking the lyrics to Iron Maiden's Deja Vu. Feels like I've been here before, over and over again, because that's what the album felt like. There's one really good song towards the end called Killing, and it's a faster song. And I don't know. I definitely don't think that they climbed to the top of Everest with this one. Let me just put it to you that way, to play off of the title. My album of the week is Opus Noir Volume 1 by Lord of the Lost. Jeremy mentioned it. If you're into their previous material, you'll enjoy this. Yes, this album is darker, and I enjoy it as a result. Has a lot of gothic overtones, the usual from Chris Harms and his vocals. And yeah, I enjoyed the album. So that is my album of the week. Looks like I missed the compilation, which was The Dogs of Hope. And Edgar Winterson is saying, did you mention the Choir Boys live album? I did not, sir. Apologize. I don't even have it listed. A lot of this, to be honest, it's either sent to me or it's on sites that I usually frequent. And if there's something that I didn't pick up on that I think is quote unquote big, I'll post it. August 15th. We had new releases from Insight, Wave, Castrator, Ori, Based, Patriarchs and Black, Unleashed, let's see, there's a reissue. And Jeremy, what did you listen to this time around?
Yeah, I actually forgot to listen to the UFO album. I'll definitely go back and listen to that one. But it's good, just a couple for this week. The Edge by Blackwater Rising. The American band is a few albums in now. Definitely something interesting brewing on this one. Sort of southern tinged hard rock groove on this. Some songs that sort of cut through, others that don't. That might be a little bit boring. So, you know, it was an average listen, I think. Nothing too special on it. But the one I'm going to pick for the week will be Unbreakable by Ellefson Soto. Whereas obviously Smith and Cotson have gone down the blues path, this one has sort of stuck to metal. For the most part, I'd say it's a fine effort. It's their second album. Despite the shield on the cover sort of proving a little bit slightly strange because it reminded me of the latest Judas Priest album with a shield on there. But yeah, the songs were good. I enjoyed it. It was probably a bit of a lean week for me, but yeah, I'm going to pick that one as a good listen, album of the week.
Okay. Ed, how about you? What did you listen to for the week of the 15th?
Okay, you're going to have to linger with me on this week because this week was awesome. This was probably even the best week of the year for me so far.
Okay.
But before I get into my favorites, I'm interested. Did you all listen to that? Is it Based? You think that's how it's said?
Did not. No.
No, I didn't.
If not, you, both of you need to listen to this.
Okay.
I remember hearing it before, and I remember they were a death metal band, and they've got the big kind of like Sepultura-like vocals with kind of big booming vocals. But anyway, listening to this record, you know, and I have it randomly playing in my iTunes, I swear there are riffs on this record that could be on Under Lock and Key by Dokken.
Oh, wow.
And okay. So there's, I don't know if they just did this on this record or if it's something they've been doing for a while, but they have all kinds of these heavy metal riffs from just basic heavy metal to, you know, like I said, Dokken type riffs.
Mm-hmm.
When I first heard a couple of those songs, I thought I was about to hear just a basic hard rock band, but then it turns into their death metal. Very interesting. You all should go listen to it and tell me what you think later. Mm. But anyway, man, what a dandy week this was. You know, the band Unleashed, are you all familiar with that band? Because they've been around like since 89, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess they're mainly considered death metal. But when I was listening to these songs, I was getting a lot of good old classic heavy metal vibes mixed in with their death metal. You almost got some flavors of Viking metal.
Okay.
Without it sounding like Viking metal.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked on the Metal Encyclopedia, they do say that they're one of the first metal groups to start writing songs about Viking and Scandinavian history, I guess, instead of like death and gore.
Right.
But yeah, this album had lots of classic heavy metal mixed with speed metal. thrash metal riffs mixed in with their death metal. They kept the songs interesting throughout the tunes with a lot of mix of their riffs. They're very, their guitar solos are great and interesting. Their vocals, you know, even though they're death metal, it's not that guttural. It's kind of more in that death, gruesome range. It's vocals that I think would make it more palatable to people like Jeremy or Mike who don't care much for those. So check that out. Now, the next one, one is going to be probably in my top three records this year is Castrator. It's Castrator, but if you're from Kentucky, Castrator, I guess. And this is their second album. I remember listening to their first record when it came out. And of course, this is an all-female death metal band. They are kind of a perfect mix of death and black metal, and it's very thrashy, very aggressive. The first record was, you know, the songs were pretty good, the production was pretty good, but not enough to keep listening to it for too long. But man, they nailed it on this record. I don't know if they had a new producer or what, but the production of the instruments is great. They got a nice, heavy, raw, clean guitar tone. They've got a lot of that heavy metal jug that I like. And also with the female vocalist, man, she's got powerful voice. She's one of the first death metal vocalists that I think is starting to hang out with the big boys, you know, that's one thing about death metal groups when it comes to male and female vocals. There's, you know, females out there that are doing great death metal, and sometimes they even blow away with black metal vocals, what the guys can do. But sometimes when it comes, you know, those death metal vocals, it's kind of hard to match the power of like Corpse Grinder and guys like that. But man, this gal, she can hang with them. It's heavy, heavy stuff. If you like, it's mostly death metal. They don't put so much black in there that I get tired of it. I'm excited to listen to this record for a while. But and this would be the best record of all if it wasn't for Insight. You all familiar with Insight, it has Richie Cavalera in the band.
Yeah.
And they got, you know, a few records under their belt. Man, they nailed it on this record. Absolutely love it. If you heard them, then you know that, you know, kind of in that Sepultura vein, with the vocals being a little more on the maybe metalcore to death metal style. But man, these songs are an awesome mix of thrash and groove metal. And so, you know, that's what I love the most. I haven't been able to get into it much, but man, I'm so excited to be blasting this one for Lexington all next week. just the songs, you'll be grooving along with the drums banging your head, and then they just go crazy and just pummel you to death with, you know, some blast beats, and it's chaotic, but it's contained. It's kind of like with Sepultura and Slayer, to where it's, you know, it's not perfectly produced. It's, you know, they're not using a metronome to record things, but but they're all, you know, in the pocket and grooving along together. It's probably going to be my favorite record of the year if someone doesn't come out soon with something to top this. I think that covers it for that week, doesn't it?
So
yeah,
then
that's all of it for that week.
Insight is your album of the week.
Yeah, and it hurts me to put either Castrator or Insight one over the other.
Okay.
You death metal fans have to listen to both of those records.
Cool. So I got to listen to Home by Patriarchs in Black, our good friend Dan Lorenzo, with Johnny Kelly of Typo Negative on drums. And I think each album that he's released under the Patriarchs moniker has gotten better. And this has some really cool riffs and really awesome melodies and different things that I wasn't expecting from Dan. Because of that, this is my album of the week. So let's move on to August 25th. This was a big release week. And seeing that there are things that I didn't write down that I listened to. All right. So we have new releases from 3 Days Grace, Dizzy Reed, Dinosaur Pileup, Vindicator, Prop, Iron Savior, Old Machines, Reinforcer, Black Briar, Burning Witches, Crown, Hunter Oliveri, Jack the Joker, Mob Rules, Panzer Christ, Reinforced, which I have on here twice, Rage and Rust, Signs of the Swarm, Stranglers, Deftones, and Chevelle. What did you listen to, Jeremy, for this week?
Yeah, I started off listening to Inquisition, Burning Witches. I don't fully sort of buy into this band, to be fair. I don't really like the vocal much, but there's some good songs to get your teeth into. It's good heavy metal. Decent enough listen, but nothing special for me personally. So I moved on to Rise of the Ruler by Mob Rules, obviously a title taken from a Black Sabbath album that we know of. Studio album number 11, this actually now, from the German power metal band. They sound sort of like Primal Fear, I guess, which is a bit unsurprising because another German power metal outfit. So it's all fairly familiar riffs, fairly familiar melodies on it. I don't think anything sort of extends the boundaries. Maybe there's a bit of a Maiden-esque song called Dawn of Second Sun, which I really liked. It's pretty excellent, that one. And I was thinking whether if Maiden actually covered it, it would be a really good Iron Maiden song. And also the same could be said of the next track, Back to Savage Land, which is a similar sort of song which Maiden could have done. So yeah, if you like Maiden, you like heavy metal, you like Primal Fear, and that's the album for you. But the album I'm going to pick is Songs of Yesterday by Rust and Rage. There's a lot of reasons why I shouldn't be picking this one. There's a bit of a dubious mixing on it. There's the occasional sort of slapdash production as well, which I thought. And there's also the fact that there's an apostrophe after the end, but not before it, which for an editor is a no-no. But it's one of those sort of new wave of classic rock bands that, be sort of amazing live. I really like Hey Jane, which was class it as a hard rocking commercial masterpiece. It's an absolutely amazing song. It would be a massive hit for any 80s hair metal outfit like sort of Cinderella, Poison, or Warrant. It's an incredible song that they put on this album. And sometimes you miss those kind of things if you don't listen to, stuff that you don't normally listen to. So for that song alone, but also for some other stuff on it, Rust and Rage is my pick of the week.
All right. Ed, what did you listen to for this week?
So, a good recommendation for those who like heavy black metal influence, Panzer Christ. It's like good enough for me to listen to once, but I just wanted to throw that out there for people that like, it's kind of like, it's mostly death metal, but very heavy on the black metal vocal styles.
Okay.
But anyway, the stuff that I liked the most was... Vindicator was good. Mm-hmm. That is just pure thrash metal. It's not Metallica, Megadeth thrash metal where they're mixing different styles. It's just pure thrash metal. Not a ton of jugging and stuff like that, but they have good songs. This album's really well done. The production is good. The vocals are kind of like Vector, which is another kind of clean technical thrash band. On the death metal side, I don't know what this stands for. It's KHNVM. I think I maybe have heard of them in the past, but don't know if I've listened to them. But they got this album now called Cosmocrator. And that's one I'm going to listen to some more over the next few weeks. It's just a, it sounded to me like just a good old classic death metal sound with some, you know, sludge and doom thrown in there. The vocals are definitely more guttural, so some of you guys would definitely not like this. But it doesn't get to that point to where, you know, some death metal vocals are so guttural, it sounds like you got a bucket on your head, and I don't quite care for that. This was good, though. Really well done. If you like good classic death metal jams, that'll be good. One that's not really a death metal that I found to be good that you all might have liked too was Vicious Rumors. Are you familiar with that band?
That's next
week. Every time their songs come up, yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
I was going to say, wait, I think that's in the following week.
That's next week. That's next week.
Okay, yeah, we'll wait till the next week. There again. But I've got the same date on that one for some reason.
Yeah.
Did I do that too with the Cosmic Crater? That was the next week?
Let's see.
You can tell I'm a beginner on this podcast.
Yeah, that's next week as well. I was looking at the list. I'm like, I don't see that. Well, maybe Ed had something written down, but no, that's fine.
So it would be Vindicator, Whispers of Death. And if you like your black metal stuff, try out Panzerchrist. Those songs are well done.
Okay. Let me note both of those. Okay. Vindicator, interestingly enough, I listened to that album. I don't know if James J. LaRue, former guitarist of White Wizard, was part of this album or not, but when he left White Wizard and Holy Grail, he moved out to Ohio to record with them. And I have some of theirs from that time period.
I noticed they've been around. They put out a few records,
Yeah, they've been around for some time. So I did listen to the Vindicator. I listened to the 3 Days Grace, Alienation, and I had such high hopes. But again, they're a band that I either really like their music or it just kind of does nothing for me because it's ultra generic a lot of times. I listened to Inspiration by Burning Witches, and I can't help but think that, you know, they try to go dark on these albums, but they've always got, and thankfully this album, they've kind of recouped a little, but because I think they've allowed Courtney Cox to write some of the tracks. For the longest time, you know, without having that extra input, there was like zero melodies in any of their tracks. So the albums kind of felt incomplete to me. This finally sounds like a complete album again by them instead of a song or two here that sticks out. What else? I listened to Bright as Blasphemy by Chevelle. I've always been a big Chevelle fan from back in the day. And yeah, people can point out that, oh, you know, you say this band is generic or that band is generic when Chevelle has kind of found their sound and kind of stuck to it. But again, comes down to melodies to me and their song structures and stuff. With all that said, my album of the week is Private Music by Deftones. I really enjoy this band. And when they're good, they're great. When they're mediocre, they're forgettable. But I wasn't expecting much from this album because usually they put out a really good album and then it takes a few albums for them to come back with something that's strong. Their last album, Ohms, wasn't bad, but I think this is a lot better than that. So it surprised me that they've released 3 albums that are very strong back to back. It took them a while for this one, but I'm glad it did. It was worth the wait. So, Ed went with Vindicator and Whispers of Death for his album of the week. Jeremy went with Rust and Rage with Songs for Yesterday. And I went with Deftones Private Music. The final week of August, August 25th, saw new albums from Helloween, IHLO, I guess is how you pronounce that. Shadows. Denum, I guess is how that's pronounced, Ed. Silent H and that V is pronounced like a U, I guess. Manigarm, Sweet Freedom, Union, Vicious Rumors, Wookin, Nova Twins, reissues from Deep Purple with their 20th anniversary of Rapture of the Deep. So kind of weird. I don't know if Bob Ezrin remixed that or whatever. I think he produced it, or maybe he didn't. Who knows? Anyway. Ed, what did you listen to for this week?
So that Cosmic Crater and then the Vicious Rumors. That's kind of, I was going to say, I've noticed that they've been around since the early 80s.
Vicious Rumors.
But I've never really listened to them much. But in the last, I don't know if it was like tracks they pre-released from this record or tracks that from a previous record that you might have turned me on to with your videos. But when their songs come up in the car, listening to these tracks, man, this is a good, good band. It's good heavy metal, but they keep it really interesting. It's like one of the best heavy metal bands that I've heard in a while. And their guitar solos were very well done. Just everything about this record was great. I'm really getting into it, even though it's a little bit more on just the basic heavy metal side.
Right.
What do you all think of it?
Yeah, I, Victor, I'll just step in. I actually listened to it as well. It's actually album number 14, this, and I'm a bit like you, Ed, that I sort of come slowly into them over the, you know, just the last few years, really. I like them a lot. On this particular album, they've got a new guitarist and a new vocalist. Guitarist is Denver Cooper, new vocalist Brian Betterton. They joined in 2024. So it's a slightly different sound to the last album, just slightly, which, you know, you'd expect. And I think it's a little bit less thrash and a little bit more power, which you were sort of referring to, I guess.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, yeah. It's a band that doesn't get mentioned a lot as well in this sort of genre. Mm-hmm. I think that we sort of overlook them a lot. I actually really like it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very well done.
Yeah, this is an album that I need to go back and revisit. Any video that I posted is probably off of this album because I think their previous album was probably predates the Patreon.
No, okay.
I think their biggest issue is that they've always had a revolving door of musicians and they're from the Bay Area. So they were kind of part of the last wave, like with Heathen and Hyrax and Forbidden and bands like that, where they're good, but by the time that they came out, like all the great was already out there, you know.
Yeah.
As good as some of the material is, there's times where it doesn't compare to a lot of the bigger bands. But this album has a lot of everything. There's thrash, there's heavy metal, like you said. There's some grungy type stuff on there as well. So I definitely think it's a really good listen. Jeremy, what else did you listen to on this week?
Yeah, only one other album, which is obviously going to be my pick. Strangely for me, I've picked Giants and Monsters by Helloween. You know, I didn't realize this is their 17th studio album. 38 years now since Keeper of the Seven Keys came out. You know, I'll be fairly brutally honest with you guys. I've never really got this band at all. I never liked them. Listened to Seven Keys, Sitlist, Seven Keys 2 many times over the years, over those 38 years. Still don't like it. Can't get into it for some reason. Everyone I know loves this band, and I just can't get them. And I've seen them at Download as well, and I watched them for about 2 or 3 minutes. No, don't like it. Walked off. Just the way it is, I suppose. A lot of ferocious twiddling going on and you know, didn't like it. But this, I actually like this. for some reason, I don't know whether it's different to the early stuff. It probably is a lot. There's a little bit of Scorpions in there, which I thought, you know, there's a ballads in there. There's proper sort of classic rock in there. There is a little bit of proggy element stuff, but I like it. It's good. A lot of songs on there alike. I read a review of it in one of the heavy metal magazines. He gave it 9 out of 10, and I thought, yeah, you pretty much got it spot on. It's good.
Okay. So I listened to the Vicious Rumors, as we mentioned. I listened to the Nova Twins, which is something that's really popular in the UK. This is one of these bands where they're listed as being a metal band, but there are a lot of elements that are included in their music, which has nothing to do with metal. Very poppy at times, very 90s sounding alternative at times. Not a bad album. My album of the week is also Giants and Monsters by Helloween. I was so scared going into this because I thought that their last album was too boring. It was them like imitating them. It was, you know, and I just don't get that. To me, like some of the Priest albums that they released after Rob Halford came back, it was them trying too hard to be Priest, where the songs kind of fell flat to me. Whereas with the last two albums, it's Priest sounding like Priest, but with energy and with balls and with energy. I think Helloween has done that with this. And I think that they've infused stuff within the album that maybe on albums like Chameleon, or I'm trying to think of what some of the other albums are. Well, even Pink Bubbles Go Ape, where the band was branching off and doing different things, which wasn't like prototypical power metal-y type stuff or Maiden or Priest type stuff. They were dipping their toes into other things. And this to me feels like that, where it's a continuation of stuff that they had done in the past without leaning too much into the whole Keepers DNA. And yeah, they always have ballads on each of their albums, and they've always got super long tracks on each of their albums that lean towards being proggy. So I think the album is great because it touches upon a lot of different things they've done throughout their career. So that would be both Jeremy and my album of the week for the 29th. And Ed, for you, it's...
I like that Cosmo Crater album. Okay. That's easier to say than the band name.
I'm assuming it's pronounced Conum.
Something like that, yeah.
Conundrum.
Yeah.
It's a conundrum. All right,
let me go back here real quick. Our albums of the week for the first week here of August. August 1st, Jeremy had Lomi. I had Moths. For August 8th, Ed had Synesthesium with In Devastation. Jeremy had Lucky by Firstborn, and I had Opus Noir Volume 1 by Lord of the Lost. August 15th, Ed went with Savage New World from Insight. Jeremy went with Ellefson Soto with Unbreakable, and I went with Patriarchs in Black with Home. August 22nd, Ed went with Vindicator and Whispers of Death. Jeremy went with Rust and Rage with Songs of Yesterday, and I went with Private Music by Deftones. The final week of August saw Ed go with Canum with Cosmo Crater, and Jeremy and I going with Halloween with Giants and Monsters. So cool. Ed, I do want to thank you for joining us and adding an extra wrinkle to what we do here.
Yeah, thanks for letting me give it a try. Hopefully it went okay for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad that you found some releases that spoke to you and were interesting, and that there are things that you saw that we should check out that maybe we didn't. So I've noted.
Yeah, that's something else I'd like to do, is not just find things that the death metal fans like, but stuff that you all might be able to get into a little bit as well, if I hear it, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome. Jeremy, I want to thank you as well. This is a concept that the two of us have been running with for 2 years now, if I'm not mistaken. So it's been flying by. These are always fun. It's always fun to check out new music. And it's funny because I've been leaning heavily this entire summer on my 2025 playlist. And it's cool to just have different things to listen to. And, you know, it's at the point where some of the songs are starting to come up and I'm thinking, okay, I've already heard that one quite a few times. Let's give another song a try. So awesome. So hopefully Ed will join us in future episodes of these. And hopefully you guys enjoy this. Edgar, thank you for joining us in the chat. And that is pretty much it. Thanks everyone for checking this episode out, whether that be live or the replay. And we appreciate your support. And hopefully, if we didn't help you lighten your pockets a little, hopefully at least some of the things we mentioned has made its way into your headphones or speakers after checking the episode out. On that note, I do want to end the episode. Thanks again, guys. And we will see you next time right here on Signals from Mars. See you, folks.
Thank you for listening to the Signals from Mars podcast. You can subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and more. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.